Daughters of Jerusalem, written by Charlotte Mendelssohn, read by Fleur de Witt. For Joanna, and for Max, Catty and Rachel, with love. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love, for the daughters of Jerusalem. The Song of Songs, 3:10. Prologue, October 1979. North Week. A children's tea party in the land that style forgot. One small, pink-cheeked boy, white old man's braces over the top of his padded navy jacket, is laboriously spreading cream cheese on wholemeal bread. Another, in a mist-toggled duffel coat and, unmistakably, pyjamas, is building a scale model of a Roman catapult on a pile of monochrome periodicals, with matchsticks for timbers and a half-sucked Polish liqueur chocolate for the stone. In the corner, a tiny child of indeterminate sex is reading Asterix, in French, back to front. It has mistaken it for Hebrew, a scholarly language which every child should know. Underneath the table, eight little girls in party corduroy and smocking are giggling under a purple towel, entirely invisible, if only to each other. And in the doorway, the sister of the most giggly and sugar-glutted girl, her private counting games forgotten, is watching them silently through a bright, cold tunnel of envy, her body as still as a sentry's, her mind a frosted bowl. Where are the adults? Behind the standing girl in the kitchen. Five women are drinking coffee and looking for a place to hide their own inedible chocolates. Four men are on their knees on the cold flagstones, playing an ancient word game in the dead languages of their choice.
Fichter,
says the Bannett professor of morbid anatomy, who has something sticky, like honey, all up his sleeve.
I can't believe you thought we wouldn't notice. It's only a diphthong in Hittite, as well you know.
Hmm, growls Victor, a black-haired, stooping wolfhound of a man. He lowers his white-seeded eyebrows and frowns at his young wife, less unkempt than the other women, who is washing chocolate off their hostess's milk jug. Jean knows no Hittite. That is not her place. Although she can feel his glower against the back of her blouse, she keeps her eyes on the stained sink and the apple cake beside it. Too irritated to persist with this manly gamesmanship, Victor mumbles an excuse and, wiping his hands on his old grey jacket, rises to his feet. It takes some time. Eventually, scratching the skin between his fingers, he turns and sees his elder daughter in the doorway, staring into the other room. She is dark-haired, pale-eyed, fierce-looking, an unfortunate combination of her parents' genes. His head is uncomfortably inclined beneath a beam.
Eve, he says irritably, come here. You can learn from this.
Reluctantly, still luxuriating in hatred, she turns. Her pinafore dress is too tight across her shoulders, her nine-year-old thighs hot and prickly in her eight-year-old's tights.
Mum, she says, are we... can we...
Her mother, preparing her expression, tolerant, calm, finishes drying the jug, wipes her hands, glances at her new chestnut-coloured knee boots, breathes in, looks up, and at Eve's sullen, plucking face, she feels her smile fade.
Mum, she says.
There is chocolate on her chin.
Later, love, soon. Ask your... Victor, didn't you want her for something?
Victor, with an air of hermit-like patience, has been watching the men's game from above.
Gerandiv, surely, he says,
and then remembers his daughter.
Come on, then. Stand here, where you can watch them.
There is a thin black shelf running along the wall of this semi-country kitchen, above the fireplace. It matches